Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, actually, it's not Steve. It's Becky Brown, and I am joined by Milan Yurkovich and Chris Williams in California. Hello, everybody.
Hey, how you doing? It's good to hear you, Becky.
It's great to be heard, and I was just joking earlier that I have the keys to the car, so we'll find out where we're going to go today. One of the things that I'm aware of in this time of COVID, where we're all shut in, those of us who have been working recovery feel sometimes like we're driving with our hands off the handlebars, and we're kind of losing our way. And I want to encourage everybody: if you are working your recovery, you can contact us, and we have great life recovery materials that can continue to help you through the 12-step process. We have groups all over the country that are working through their recovery, and we can't say enough about the importance of staying with that structure. Chris, I know you work a lot with recovery. How would you encourage folks that are dealing with this strange kind of thing called COVID that keeps us from meeting in groups?
Becky, for those of us who struggle with addiction, this has been such a challenging season, as it has for everyone. But when we compound stress upon stress, and then limit accessibility to our solution, which is our recovery, mm-hmm. We just have, unfortunately, a petri dish for a lot of addictive struggles, whether that be relapsing or getting back into it, or just, a lot of our emotional struggles that we help, that our recovery really helps ground us and be healthy. And so it just requires more vigilance, more intentionality. And that if our recovery groups have, obviously a lot have gone to online, Zoom, some have restricted, some have just kind of even disappeared. This is a time, and I found this in my own life, that when I've had to shift my recovery, though the initial shift was really difficult, I actually ended up discovering new growth and new healing and health on the other side of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that life recovery can offer a lot of people, especially those who haven't engaged with it.
I love that. And I think so many of us are kind of grappling with, okay, what's next? What are we going to have to deal with next? And recovery principles can give us that framework, the structure to do life well. It's a sanctification process, really. It's, accepting what I cannot change, changing the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Milan, you have taught me a lot about dealing with anxiety. And I know a lot of people are dealing with fear and anxiety during this time, the, unpredictable nature that we're dealing with. What would you say to those folks that are needing some encouragement where anxiety is concerned?
Well, often negative emotions precede the usage of whatever mm-hmm. type of addiction I find myself going toward. So if we get used to being able to say to ourselves, these are the negative emotions I'm feeling, that is self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And I can articulate those. They're really, at the beginning, they're amorphous. I can't identify what these bad feelings are on the inside. But once I start to put words to them, identify them, even I'm overwhelmed, I'm scared, I'm anxious, I'm fearful, I feel abandoned, I feel alone, all these words that then drive us to addictions to take those bad feelings away, when I can share it with myself, mm-hmm. the Lord, and then other people, I have a freedom then. Yeah. I have the ability to ask them for help. And that is the essence, really, of recovery, whether it's 3 steps or 12, mm-hmm. we have to come into community.
I love it. And we can help you. Call us, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hello, welcome back. You've got Becky Brown, Chris Williams, and Mylon Yurkovich who are answering your calls today. If you call us at 1-800-229-3000, we can help you. It's a great time to call and get help. I also want to, you know, say hi to all our Facebook Live viewers. I'm one of those. I watch when I'm not hosting radio. I love it so much. And I want to just thank you all for participating there. If you want to, you can go to newlife.com and view it there. If you're not on Facebook, that works as well. And you can also tune in today at 5 p.m. for Steve's Facebook Live broadcast, Going Deeper with Stephen Arterburn. And he's in a series talking today about divorce, not how to do that, but the 12 steps of recovery from divorce. I think it's just such a great way to continue the healing that is so necessary. But right now, we're going to go to the calls, and we're going to start with Mark, who's calling us today. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
Doing well. You're listening on KKLA, and we appreciate that station so much. How can we help you today?
Well, my question is would be how to get some help, and that I might be able to get some guidance in, a very peculiar situation I'm in with my marriage, with my wife. I feel that there might be maybe a hang up from the past or spiritual stronghold. I wrote an outline so I could get through this and save time for you guys so other people could call and get help.
Well, that's kind of you. So, go ahead and ask.
Yes, okay. Well, I've been married for 9 months. I've known my wife. We've been dating off and on for 10 years. My wife kind of, you know, ended the other two dating periods. And, you know, her kids and parents love and adore me. They've known me forever. Both sets of our parents have been married for a very long time. My mom and dad were married for 75 years happily. Her parents have been married for 63. We're believers. You know, I don't want to paint a broad brush or anything like that. We're all flawed people. We all have enough issues to work with, you know, in our own lives.
Right. Go ahead and ask us the question, Mark, that we can help you with.
Okay. Well, my wife is terminated every relationship she's been in for 14 years. She's been single 14 years. She's also quit every job. She's really talented, smart. So I think she has an issue of commitment, you know, and I think that there's a past pain that she needs to get rid of, and I want to know how I could help do that, because I feel if I could unlock that pain, that I'd be her hero.
Okay. All right. Well, Mylon and Chris, where shall we start?
So, Mark, okay, I'm going to give you some hard news first. You ready for this?
Sure.
The last thing I want you to be for your wife is her hero.
Amen.
Okay.
Okay. I was going to say the same thing.
That's not the goal. Absolutely. No. I want you to be her help.
Right.
And her support and her comfort. There, you're noticing a pattern in her, and I think that it's important to notice that pattern. But the help that she needs, that I think that she needs to recognize that. She needs to see what she needs to work on. But I'm going to flip it and put a mirror up a little bit here, Mark. And I'm going to say there is a lot of investment that you have in her healing and growth and change. Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense.
Correct.
But what I want you to be able to do is I want you to pay attention to the anxiety in you that comes up for you when she shows up with her patterns. So the question is, Mark, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid that's going to happen?
Well, losing my wife and my kids.
Absolutely. And I want you to have that as sort of your central truth, as your fear. So when you do talk to your wife, hey, I see this pattern, and here's how it scares me. Here's how I'm reacting to it, as opposed to, hey, wife, here's how you need to change. And what that does is it invites her in, but also you can start having conversations around your anxiety.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, so and hopefully that can open up some pathways for her to talk about her anxiety, or maybe be aware of some of her patterns.
Mylon, would you add anything to that?
Well, I agree with what Chris said. You know, Mark, if you're the rescuer, then you're always going to be in a caretaking position, and that is not the position you want to be in. You want to be, as Chris said, in a helping profession, or excuse me, position. You mentioned children.
Correct.
Whose children are they?
Well, they're hers. They're all in their 20s. They were pretty much all living in separate areas. So
okay. So the question is, who are these all by different fathers? Are they the same? They have a father?
No, it's the same. She was divorced 14 years ago. Their dad is dead. He throws drugs and alcohol over them. And Monday she told me, that she didn't love me, shouldn't have married me.
Okay,
not attracted to me.
So what you've got, Mark, is you have a person that is very ambivalent. Ambivalent means that they want one thing one moment and then another thing another moment. They are constantly second-guessing everything. This is not anything that is unresearched or not new to us. It's very common. But it starts somewhere long ago, and it usually starts in infancy and childhood, where somehow the child experienced somehow connection and then disconnection, connection, disconnection. So at some level, your wife is frightened by commitments. You mentioned that earlier, but she's frightened by commitment to people, jobs.
Definitely.
She gets performance anxiety, and she needs help. It's not. I wouldn't call it, as you indicated at the beginning, a spiritual stronghold. I would call it a developmental piece that can absolutely be overcome, but she has to be willing to do that. Mm-hmm. And she has to be willing to own that. And yes, they're very hot when they're hot, relationally and romantically. But when they grow cold, she'll say things like you just quoted, I'm not attracted to you anymore, et cetera, et cetera. So what you're dealing with is someone that fits a profile that's well understood in some counseling offices. Not all people understand that in terms of counselors, but she needs to be in a counseling situation, hopefully with you, where if she's the ambivalent one and you're the rescuer, you guys get in a circular pattern that, is going to be very hard, just about every day probably. There's hope, though.
Yes.
There is hope, Mark, and I think one of the great things that we can offer is a plan moving forward. I would say sending a copy of How We Love and begin to kind of process where do you fit in that. And I would also, if you guys haven't done any counseling, that would be a good next step as well. It was pretty telling that, when you said that you wanted to be the hero, when we want to be the hero, we don't become part of the process. We are kind of outside the process, and we're going to rescue. And I hope that's helpful. We're going to send you the copy of How We Love, and I'm trying to get to a phone call, and it's hard for me to do that. So why don't you guys pick one of those, please?
Let's go with Bob in Boston, Massachusetts.
Great. Hi, Bob. How are you today?
I am doing fairly well, considering the weekend. It's been a little on the rough side.
Okay.
But I wanted to call and give sort of an update. I called a couple weeks ago in regards to not being able to see my girls because of this the virus situation.
I think I remember that call.
We were able to start a an agreement for me to see my girls. And in the process, I think it was either the first day or the second day I saw them, we had a little bit of a blow up. And my eldest kind of sort of stomped off and said that I was mad at her. And I'll be honest, I did not want to let it go and have her stomp off. And I made her come back and I told her that I wasn't mad at her. I was mad at the whole situation. And I could just see the defensive walls in her face. And when I told her and I looked at it and I told her, I said, the thing that kills me the most is that I see you have defensive walls and you don't feel safe enough to tell me what you're thinking. And at that point, she broke. And I was able to break through and hug her and say, I love you so much. I don't like this entire situation. And we ended up talking, and all three of us, me and both girls, and we came up with a tentative schedule where I get to see them a few hours together on Saturday, and they are going to join me individually on alternating weeks in the middle of the week, where I've been volunteering at a soup kitchen during this whole virus thing because I've got nothing better to do because work is slow.
Well, good job, Bob. That sounds like you followed directions very well, and it paid off for you. It's hard to manage those distant relationships when, you know, especially with teenagers in the house, whether it's a good situation or not, can be hard to manage. But it sounds like you did a really good thing, and I'm excited to see where that's going to go.
In terms of that, I wanted to update you on that. Now getting to the hard weekend. The hard weekend was very difficult for me emotionally on two different levels. One is that it was the holiday weekend, and I always take my girls for fireworks, because it was something that we enjoyed together, and all the fireworks were canceled, so I couldn't even take them, and so that was rough. But even more, Mylan's book, How We Love, arrived, and I was able to start reading that on Sunday. And I made three different trips to the local park to read it and got through 11 chapters on Sunday. Talk about an emotional roller coaster, up and down. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, Mylan, that there were so many answers that I've been looking for, that everything I've read and seen seemed to dance around the question. And it was, you know, Gary Chapman has the five love languages that kind of danced it around. But this particular book, How We Love, answered some questions mainly for me on where were my fault that contributed to the breakup and the divorce. And where did I need to look at changing myself? And, you know, I could easily say and point out to, you know, the other parties, I'll say, well, that's them. But with your concrete examples, which I absolutely love in the book, I was able to personally identify and do that introspection and say, okay, that's me. And like I said, three different trips to the park. Okay, I don't want to be at home. Go to the park and read for a little hour. Okay, emotionally I'm a wreck. I need to go back and think for a while and go back and forth. And I've got through 11 chapters. So,
You know, Bob,
I'm still going through it, and I'm going to end up having to read this a couple times. So I highly, highly recommend people who are, whether they're in a rocky marriage now or just after a divorce, so that they can figure things out, where they're at fault, this helped to point things out where I have my issues.
Well, that's really good, Bob, because unless you work on you, nothing changes. Mm-hmm. You have to know what your part is. Now, toward the end of the book, we talk about the combinations of, in the middle of the book, really, where we talk about combinations. What happens if you put this style with this? And you create a core pattern, and the core patterns are very tenacious, they're rough, they hurt us. And ultimately, if you do not have the cooperation of a spouse, a former spouse, if you work on you, it changes the core pattern. And that's a very optimistic, hopeful place. So I'm glad.
Well, I tell you, that book has changed so many people's lives. And you can get a copy at newlife.com or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I know Bob's got a copy already that he is dog-earing and marking up. And I can't say enough about the work that you and Kay have done, Mylon, in helping all of us understand our relationships better. And we're still taking calls, so you can call us and call us at 1-800-229-3000, and we will answer your questions when we come back from the break.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We always love to hear from you. And in the breaks, we also talk about more about what we would have said had we had the time. But Chris, you wanted to say something more about what we just talked to Bob about.
I think Bob was really explaining something that Mylon was actually talking about at the top of the show. But it is really, really important in our season right now. We have crisis after crisis after crisis that is happening culturally in our society. And that doesn't include all of our individual and personal crises going on. So we can get overwhelmed in a lot of negativity, a lot of fear, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. And not knowing what to do with that is very dangerous. And not just in the short term, but especially in the long term. So what Bob was talking about in his relationship with his daughters is that he's beginning to understand what's happening inside of him. Mm-hmm. He's identifying his emotions, mm-hmm. as Mylon was talking about earlier, as how we love addresses this in the soul word so well. It gives us language to the foreign world of our emotions so that we can begin to deal with them well, but also be safer for other people to express it to us. And then we watch the needle of health just increase all the more. It upticks and we become better people to relate to and a better world to relate in. And so I wanted to say that because this is really important during our time, and this is our opportunity.
Right. Well, and you know, we all have work to do. Go ahead, Mylon.
Chris and Becky. Isn't it interesting what you just said? The foreign world of emotions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why should they be so foreign? Well, nobody addresses them.
Yes.
Right.
School doesn't teach it. Our families aren't learning it. The church doesn't teach emotional health.
Right.
It took a movie by Pixar
to
introduce the world to emotions.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was a beautifully done movie, and it really illustrated how the brain works to form relational connections and emotional intelligence.
That's right.
And it's sad they're foreign, Chris.
It is sad. It is.
Well, that's what we're here for, so that you can learn about how to recognize those feelings and to be in relationships, because there's feelings in relationships, too. And we're going to go to Dolores, who's calling us from Colorado Springs, listens on the NRB network. Hi, Dolores. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Thank you very much for taking my call. My basic question is, should I talk to my daughter, and if so, what should I say concerning her anorexic eating disorder? She's 49 years old, married, two teenage daughters. She did develop Dorothy eating disorder in college, and she was out a semester in a day clinic helping, but didn't really help her or the family. She actually met the man that was to become her husband at that time, and it kind of pulled her out of it. But I know she's struggled with it all these years. Mm. And now with this pandemic and everything, I just see in her she's really bad off physically. And she obsesses about exercising and running, and she's gotten so out of hand. I see her, and I just wonder if I should try to step in and talk to her, and if so, what I should say.
It's such a scary thing when you've been through that before with her, Dolores, and so it makes sense that you would want to connect with her to care for her. Chris or Mylon, do you have any place that you want to start with helping Dolores in this relationship?
Well, the answer is, of course, you should. You're her mom. Mm-hmm. And I sent a text to one of my sons this week, and I said, I prefaced it, and I said, now you know I'm not a meddler. that was my opening line. Now you know I'm not commonly a meddler, but, and it was something about being alert to the COVID resurgence. And I think even though our children are now grown up and have their own families, that if I see something and I care, I can be the good Samaritan to stop and have compassion for someone, mm-hmm. whether they are a stranger or my daughter mm-hmm. or my son or whatever the case. And I believe we need to have that kind of compassion. And that's what Jesus called loving your neighbor as yourself. And mm-hmm. when asked, who's my neighbor, he gives the illustration of the good Samaritan. So absolutely. Now, I think Becky and Chris might give you some ideas about what to say, but it's certainly that I'm troubled because I see things that are longstanding and they seem to be flaring greater than they were. Mm-hmm. And go ahead, I'll let you guys go from there.
Yeah, there's a lot here, Dolores, and we may pick this up after the break because of just that. To piggyback on what Mylon said, is that eating disorders are in the top five most life-threatening mental health issues. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that is why we don't want this to go, like if her drinking was out of control, you'd probably want to say something. You would right. want to say something. It's the same, right. I want to put that in the same category. And how you approach her is really important because when we struggle with these things, it comes with a lot of shame, and shame comes with a ton of defensiveness. Mm-hmm. And so these are hard conversations that we have to almost expect the defenses to come back at us, yet we still can't sacrifice the truth. And so, Dolores, as you approach this, and we'll talk a little bit more about this after the break, what you're going to do is you're going to talk about your experience of her and what you want for her. And so you're inviting her into your world as opposed to pushing on her world. And
that's
great. We'll come back to you right after the break.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're going to continue taking calls for a while now. So you can call us at 1-800-229-3000 and we'll help you. We were talking to Dolores, whose adult daughter has had a history with anorexia, and she noticed that she's having some struggles with that. And Chris and Mylon had talked about that, and I wanted to follow up with just a couple of how-tos. You know, I love the point that you made, Chris, about this is really no different than drinking or drugs or something where your life is at stake, you know, and as a parent, it doesn't matter how old the child is. There's concern there, and you want to be loving in your approach to kind of get those doorways open as opposed to demanding and scared and all of the things that you might be feeling. And there, you know, the first way to do that is just to connect with her on another subject. Mm. You know, that you, you know, where do you guys connect and where, what places, how, what is your normal rhythm of connection? Because we do know that within any kind of recovery, connection is the key to that healing process. And once you can feel like somebody's on your side and somebody's there for you, it gives you that strength to kind of take that next step, whatever that is. We're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery book, 12 Steps of Eating Disorders. And I think that'll help you as maybe in a connection point with your daughter. But I can't say enough about just that connection piece. You may not know how to fix it for her. You probably don't. But you guys have had this journey together before. And by all means, say something. Do you guys have anything else before we end that with Dolores?
Well, Dolores, her daughter has a tremendous amount of agitation on the inside. Mm-hmm. And it is somehow lessened with obsessive compulsive behaviors such as anorexia and compulsive exercise. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our compulsions, addictions, are really driven by, again, as we said at the top of the hour, just these unresolved emotions. Mm-hmm. I was even thinking to myself, what happened in college? Was she traumatized? Yeah. Was she hurt? Did something happen that caused her to drop into a highly anxious state and then need to control it with anorexia, with not eating? So these would be things that need to be explored.
Right. I just love, you know, the problem that we see usually is not the problem. Yeah. It's usually the stuff that's underneath it. And so we have to get curious and get connected. Speaking of connection, Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio there in California, and he would like you to get connected with us.
Amen.
go ahead, Larry, and talk to us about that connection.
Well, for some reason today, I just felt this need to speak a little bit philosophically about giving, and not a typical come in, read a testimony, and beg. you know, giving to get has become a little too commonplace, I think, in the religious world, and especially in media ministries. It's kind of an industry that it works. You know, we'll give you a book, we'll give you a DVD, we'll give you a trinket, we'll give you a T-shirt, we'll give you a coffee mug, you know, but just give us a little money first. And these thank you gifts promote and encourage giving, and it's a win-win scenario, and it's not all bad all the time, but it's a little too transactional if that's your sole motivation and only way or only time that you give. And so, you know, we've learned to accept that it works. But there's a giving to get that's deeper and more meaningful. And it's why I come in and read and tell of testimonies. People who know that their giving is making a difference in people's lives, in generations, in marriages, in relationships, in workplaces, in communities, in churches, when they know that their giving makes a difference in all those areas because life has changed, they're more fulfilled than those who give just enough to get their gift. Mm. You know, every now and then we'll say, for any gift you can give this, and I'll have a staff member come in and say, this is Dr. Amon's book. It cost us, you know, $8 or $10 to get, and they're giving $1, and they want this book. And, you know, we sent it to them. It's the right thing to do. It's what we said we would do. But in that process, I think we pray for that person's heart, that they might in the future consider that God's grace is meant for them as well. So because the other reason, people who know that because they supported New Life, someone's relationship with Christ became real. Mm-hmm. Or they experience that relationship for the first time, they sense a deeper satisfaction as well. So if that's you and you know that's what happens, in future programs we're going to continue to share testimonies because it will encourage you in your future giving and it will affirm your past giving. So let me just ask you as you listen today, please consider making a gift. That gift will result in someone's life being different, and it will result in a closer and deeper trust and relationship with Christ. Make today the day that you make your first gift, or make it the day that you join Club New Life, or make it the day that you continue your habit of giving to New Life, or that you help us meet our match, which, by the way, it started at 370. We need 84,000 to finish it up.
Oh, wow. We're getting there.
We would sure love it if you would help us with that. And I've taken a long time, and I know we need to get back to calls, but thank you, everybody who's giving.
Well, yes. And Larry, if I can just jump in, two quick things, because it just, you reminded me today of what giving does for me. One, it increases my trust my dependency on God and participating with God in his generosity. Mm-hmm. And two, I'm a person who likes to be a part of and belong to things.
Amen.
And so when I give to something, and I want our listeners and our supporters to really hear this, you belong here. You're a part of it. There is a partnership. This isn't a, you know, radio host or staff or leader ministry. This is our ministry, all of our ministries that we're just working to be a part of and just participating in God's healing and growth in his kingdom.
I agree. And we couldn't do what we're going to do next without your help. So we're going to go to talk to Ann. Thanks, Larry, for coming in and encouraging us. Ann's calling us from Charlotte. She listens on Sirius XM. Thank you so much for calling, Ann. How can we help you today?
Hi. Well, first of all, thank you guys for taking the question. I just finished reading Stephen Audubon's Understanding and Loving a Person with a Narcissistic Personality Disorder.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd read it 10 years ago, but I'm just curious, would you recommend that I show this book to my husband because he definitely has NPD, if I can persuade him to read it?
Well, right out the gate, I would say probably not because the book is written for you. To, you know, somebody who's in relationship. Now, there's another way to go about connecting with him about what you've learned. You could maybe share different parts of the book. But my bigger question would be, what are you hoping that's going to happen by kind of handing him the book or even talk to him about what you've read in the book? What are you hoping for as far as your relationship with him?
I think part of my problem has been convincing him that there is an issue, that there is a problem. And since, you know, reading some of these things, which honestly, they almost sound like direct quotes from conversations that we've had with each other, that might open his eyes to see, hey, yeah, this is considered a problem. I've said these things, you've said these things back to me, and maybe we can learn from this.
Well, Chris, my love, what would you say to Ann regarding this?
I would first off, I would affirm what Becky has said. I wouldn't give him the book because you've been trying to convince him that he has an issue. And what I would do is I would let him know that you have an issue. And that your issue is the way that he relates to you. The way that you would feel devalued in the relationship, the way that you wouldn't feel honored or loved or treated well. But I also think understanding narcissism, it can be very, very helpful because, one, I want to start here. It's a condition that exists on a huge spectrum, mild to severe. I would make the argument we are all narcissistic to some degree or another because we're selfish human beings on planet Earth. But it's not all equal, not all the same. However, at the core of someone who really struggles with this is a deep emptiness inside of them. It's a tortured existence. Mm-hmm. And so they lack empathy because they can't access empathy. But I want you to show him empathy as you explain to him that, hey, I'm having a very, very difficult time in our relationship. This is my issue that I need you to come with me and address and get into some help with.
That's so powerful. That core wound is the heart of the matter. You know, Anne, I think that's a great direction to head is to figure out where that wound is. And if you're not working with somebody, you know, we can help connect you with a counselor in your area that maybe can walk you through this process or even help the two of you together as you walk through this. You know, we had a call earlier today from a husband who wanted to be the hero. You got to make sure that's not what your goal is and that you look for healing.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Becky Brown, and I'm with Chris Williams and Milan Yurkovic, and we're going to continue taking your calls at 1-800-229-3000, so please call us. We are talking to Anne, who just read The Understanding and Loving the Person with Narcissistic Personality Disorder, and you can get a copy of yours at newlife.com. Milan had a couple of more comments, and I think, Anne, you had something that you wanted to add, but Milan, let's start with you.
Well, yes, there's a wound, really, at the very heart and early existence of a child, adolescent that grows up with a heightened sense of what we call narcissism, which is a focus on self. I only see me, and so I don't see others. And so, if you will, and there's a learned otherlessness. They never grew up being able to see others well. And I would suggest that your biggest complaint is you don't feel seen by him. And so anytime we, and by the way, many of us don't know how to see others well. We just don't have that built into us often because our parents didn't train us to see other people and to imagine what they're thinking and feeling. So if we can ask for discussion times where we're going around an exercise together and where your husband commits to learning to connect, and we do that with a request and not a complaint, then we have a chance of connecting and creating something that will fill your heart too, Anne.
Mm-hmm. Anne, did you have anything else that you wanted to ask us?
Yeah, I wanted to get your recommendations as to how do I find out where that emotional hole is, because we've started counseling sessions, you know, he'll agree to it, and then after a couple of sessions, what I'll hear is, you know, that guy's really not helping me, he won't go back to it. So
right.
We never really, there's no progress there. So that's the reason that I thought maybe even seeing the book might help. You know, I don't want to, what I'm learning finally now is the confrontation piece doesn't work.
Right,
that's
no.
That's why I was
no.
thinking maybe. Yeah.
I think what is important is, and what's really important here, there are hundreds of different kinds of theoretical orientations mm-hmm. that counselors right. have all around. You need to find someone that is very much oriented toward people's history. The very first thing when people come into my office, we discuss is history.
Yep.
What the current event is pulling out of their history. And if the therapist is not historically driven, if they're present day only, they're not going to be able to touch your husband's history.
And there's one other thing. Your husband's going to have to experience a high level of safety to express his protest.
Mm-hmm.
He's carrying a lot of anger from that injury and that wound.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not always be safe, Anne, for you to be in that room. Again, it's going to be some of his own work. But that is, he's going to have to be able to touch that pain and probably do that through his anger and his fear to be able to get down to it.
I agree. Thanks so much, Anne, for calling, and I hope that that's helpful. I think there's so many of us that do have these complicated relationships, and boy, I would love to have the book to hand out and just say, here, read this, and you're fixed. And that's, you know, we just want clarity. That's what we're looking for. So I'm hoping that something that we said is encouraging to you, and if you need help finding a counselor that works in the way that Milan is referring to, just give us a call or stay on, and we'll connect you with somebody. I want to talk to Ashley real quick before we wrap things up, but if you're hanging on, please hang on, because we're going to get to your call, and we're going to take some more calls at 1-800-229-3000. Ashley, glad you called. You're calling from San Francisco, listening on KFAX, and how can we help you today?
Hello, thank you. I have been married for about 15 years, have three daughters with my husband. When we were dating, I knew that he had pornography, something. I saw it on his computer once, thought, oh, yuck, deleted it. Very naive, didn't know even what that was. And a couple of times throughout our marriage had found that or caught him that in that way. It was about halfway through our marriage, just a little bit before our third daughter was born, that he had this moment where he said, if I've been acting out to pornography, it's like I'm having an affair. If you ever catch me again, you should leave me. He had some kind of low point there. And it was about that time, so that was probably about or 9 years ago, and I started working on some codependency I had. My dad, raised in the South, was very tough on us, and then he died when I was young. So I think I had, looking back, this kind of be mean to me, but don't go. You know,
okay, really, Ashley, we're coming up against the clock, but I want to get your question. Okay. What would your question be for us?
It became revealed about 2 years ago that he's a full-blown sex addict. To my knowledge, just pornography. He has been caught. He's lived a double life this whole time. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And there were all the traumatic patterns going on behind stage. And my question is that cheating? He had said it so long ago. I know it's tricky because, you know, cheating gives cause to divorce. I'm faith-based. He is not. But and it's not for that reason, but it's just how I feel and what he had said. Mm-hmm. And I said that once in a setting where it was cheating on me. And he's like, no, it's not. I'm just lying to you about pornography. Don't overreact. And I just, is it cheating?
The short answer is yes, but I'm going to let Chris expand on that. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, this is a good addict. Addicts love arguing nuances and love mm-hmm. arguing the details. But I'll tell you this, Ashley, it's definitely not faithful.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So we can say that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And so I want you to be able to hold, especially in your recovery from codependency, the marriage that you want, but more importantly, the marriage that you need. You need fidelity. You need honesty. You need him to work on this, because as long as it's present, you are going to have to carry around a wound and a fear, and there will not be a deeper connection and intimacy. It is a direct threat to your marriage.
And I hear a lot of kind of disillusionment in your whole process, Ashley. Like, you know, you said years ago you saw it, but then you didn't know what it was. And so there's going to be some work and healing that you'll have to do as well. But, you know, for the marriage to move forward in a healthy way, you both need help. One thing that I would suggest is that he can attend the Everyman's Battle. We have an online workshop, a one day. It's coming up July 18th. And
he has attended.
Okay. When did he go?
He's attended the past 2 years. He went 2 years ago, and after it got so bad and the patterns were so ugly and I realized what was going on, I had to ask him to go live at his mother's house. He was sort of turning the children against me. He's a lawyer. He's very good at that. I'm an artist. I didn't understand how to stand my ground.
And Ashley, this deeply ingrained addictive pattern requires daily recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean daily recovery. Mm-hmm. Think of it as an extreme alcoholic or drug addict that has to be in deep points of contact, meetings and sponsors and step work and all of that on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's the hard part in any addiction recovery is the person who is struggling with the addiction, if their problem is not big for them, the motivation is really hard for them to keep going, doing the next thing.
Becky?
Go ahead.
He needs the Lord. She said he's not of the faith.
Well, you there know, you go. That's
the
right.
Lord tells us what the new guidelines are for our life. Mm-hmm. And if he's really our Lord, we listen to him. There's another person telling us someone.
Yes.
Our Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree
absolutely.
With that. Well, and Ashley, if I want to send you the Worthy of Her Trust, the book, and Mylon, close us out with a passage of Scripture, would you?
Well, you know, the whole idea that for God did so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And this eternal life starts now with new
That's
guidelines
awesome.
And authorities and love and compassion from
That's
God.
That's right. Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.